if there was no shaitan behind the thing, and if it was just man doing his own thing, then if that one man was based in, example, Iraq, there's no way he's going to have an effect on the people of Medina, Makkah, Sham, Egypt. But when you have a shayateen force operating from behind, then for the shayateen there's no barriers. So one man will be doing the same work in Iraq which somebody else will be doing in Sham, somebody else will be doing in Egypt. What this man says in this country, he'll be saying in the other country. The two people will not even know each other. But because they are working for the same source above, the shayateen, so they will be going in the same direction. In the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, just before he passed away, one of the main reasons why there were those sahaba radiallahu anhum at the beginning who were not ready to stand up in his defense also, was because so much of complaints had come from the Islamic lands against Usman radiallahu anhu. And because it was coming from so many different areas, the people of Medina really felt that there is something in this. Because so many people can't be complaining. And that was why Usman radiallahu anhu had his own people to go out, to go to all these areas, to find out, is it really that my governors are so bad in every area? And when those people come back, and it's the time of Hajj, and they are mentioning that we went to every area, but no one is complaining. But so many letters are coming of complaints, no one is complaining. Because there was one shayateen force operating from behind. At that time, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said to Usman radiallahu anhu that if you don't come out of this place, why don't you come to live with me in Sham, you are protected. So Usman radiallahu anhu said, I'll never leave Medina. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu then said, I see death coming towards you, that you will not be protected here. So we spoke about that, but now I felt that it will be more appropriate if we can go even more back. If we can start from the beginning of creation. Because at the present moment, what wars we are seeing in Iraq, and in Sham, and in Egypt, and everyone wants to know what's happening, and why is it? Why is kufr always the force above and Islam under? Why can they make decisions and our leaders can't say anything? Why is Allah tabarak ta'ala allowing so much of blood to be spilt? Because the Zaat of Allah is a lover for the believers of the Ummah. And a mother who sees her own son slaughtered will immediately jump. And she'll do whatever she can do to stop it. So many people now want to know that why Allah tabarak ta'ala doesn't stop it? That there is one man in one country who's taking the Quran and he'll put it in the toilet, and he will tell the prisoner in front, where's your God? So the whole Muslim world will shiver, but we can't do anything. But one Allah can do everything, but nothing is happening. Women are being killed, girls are being raped, but Almighty Allah is letting it happen. So the question comes, why is it being allowed? So if we go back, and previously we spoke about this, but because now the topic is on that, we will start from the beginning and try to come down. At the beginning, before Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was brought in the world, we all know that this was a world of the jinn. It was given to them, they were in charge, they were running the show. And because the tabiat, the habit, the character of the jinn is more inclined to evil than good, so within their time that they had on this earth was left with nothing but chaos. And thereafter we know that, according to different narrations, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he narrates it in this manner, that there was one jinn who was like the good from the bad. And he had taken the name of Azazil, what we will call today Shaitan, Iblis. Previously I spoke of this, year we will repeat it now to go to the point I'm trying to mention. So at that time this Azazil Iblis, he takes a delegation to the Zaat of Almighty Allah through the angels. That if I can get permission to wage war against the evil jinn of the land, because they are doing nothing but chaos. And in that war, obviously he will request that the angels must also support him. He must be given power. So Almighty Allah allows and a war starts. And in that war, then Azazil, because he's supported by the angels, they win the war. And the evil jinn, who are majority on the earth, they are either killed, or they are chained, or they are locked, or they run away to places very far from where they can ever be caught, and they are gone. And now Azazil, the angels of the lower heavens, will return to continue in their duties. And Azazil now, he starts looking at the earth, that I purified the earth from all dirt. So it creates a feeling of happiness within him. Thus Azazil from the beginning was very unique in his mind. So he had already understood from the beginning that where Almighty Allah had put the jinn on the earth, Almighty Allah is also going to make one jinn in charge of the earth. And that was his object from the beginning till the ending. That the khilafat of the earth must be given over to me. The purpose behind the whole war was to show that if anyone has to be the king of the world, it's me. Look at the rot. I removed all the rot of the land. And now to prove extra that I am worthy of becoming the king, he starts his ibadah, which we all know about, famous. That wherever he found place for zikr, for sajda, for whatever he had to make in that time, he did it. With certain historians have mentioned every spot on the earth, Azazil perhaps made a sajda. Because he had the time and he had a maqsad motive in front. To become the king of the world. Second in charge. It's only Allah and then it's me. And everything was going well. To such an extent that we'll find that the angels of the higher heavens, a time comes where they ask Almighty Allah permission. That if they can benefit from the being called Azazil. Because his ibadah had now reached such a level. And permission is given, and that is how Azazil now reaches in the heavens. When he reaches in the heavens, you will find the selected and the choices of the angels sitting around him. He is now called Ta'usul Malaika, the king of the angels. And because the angels, they have a quality that they cannot learn with the mind, which the angel says that, O Allah, we only understand what you teach us. An angel is not like man, not like jinn. An angel can't make qiyas. They cannot use their mind to say, if this happened, then this will happen. The angel is taught and whatever it's told, it accepts. But the jinn and man, they have been given this quality that they can look at things and they can deduce. They can reach conclusions. They can use their mind. So because he could use his mind, the angels would start asking him questions. And he would start giving answers. And now he becomes the king and they are enjoying his majlis. Whatever they are too shy to ask in the divine court of Almighty Allah, they are asking Mr. Azazil. And this is blowing his balloon even further. That now when the angels are also under me, now I'm right on the top. And at that time it happened that the angels mentioned to him that we have got news that Almighty Allah is molding something called man, Adam. There's a mold made. And this mold, we have got the news that this mold is going to be given a responsibility of looking after the world. And that one sentence now burst Azazil's balloon. A balloon which he had worked for so many years. So many sajdas, so much of ibadah, that one maqsad of his was never Allah. It was I must be in charge. That I. And when that I was burst, from that time the war of shaitan with man started. It was a war based on jealousy. The jealousy started in this, that the first thing he said is why? That when I am around, what is the need for something called Adam? So like how if you have two cars normally that compete in the car business, you will have Merc and you will have BM. Then whenever BM will take out a new model, then the people at the Merc branch, they will get like an allergy. The man who's the manager there will go and see the new BM in the market. And when he goes to see it, he doesn't go to marvel at it, but he goes to burn. And when he comes back and anyone asks him how it is, he'll never say, you know what, it's a good car. He was always saying, nah, he'll never do. This is one wrong, that is one wrong. And you hear him, you believe him. Then you ask somebody else after, they say nothing, the sky is fantastic. But this is jealousy. If one wife has to go see the other wife, I don't think any wife will come back and she'll tell the people, hey, the second one is fantastic. It'll never happen. She will see what the husband couldn't see in the second one. That one look, because it's a look of jealousy. So when he came back with one sentence. That I went into Adam and I found him zero. Rubbish. Not only rubbish, created from rubbish. Because Almighty Allah in His wisdom made man from stinking mud. Salsal min hamayim masnoon. Was mud which gives out a smell also. Stinking mud. So this made that jealousy even more. That when I'm unique fire, and this is stinking mud, and when I did everything and he did nothing, I fought for Allah. I killed all the jinnat. I looked after the earth, cleansed the earth, and he suddenly pops out from nowhere. So it was a thing of jealousy. Normally, in the books of tafsir, you will find the mufassirin write, that when the angels now came in the court of Almighty Allah, they put a question in front. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. That, O Allah, why is it that you have decided to put in the world something called man, who when he will go in the world, he will do nothing but fasad. مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. And he will just kill, bloodshed, problems. So many mufassirin wrote this, that where did the angels understand this from? That if man has to go in the world, then they will create nothing but bloodshed. So the majority gave this answer, that the angels had already seen what the jinn were doing in the world. And on looking at what the jinn were doing, they now felt that man will do the same thing. But as I mentioned, the angels don't have that ability to make qiyas, to look at one and to make a decision. The narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu explains where they got that sentence. The sentence they got it is as soon as they came back to Azazil. And they asked Azazil, did you visit Adam? So in the narration of Abdullah bin Abbas, after he says rubbish, the second thing that Azazil says to them is, this man, if he is put in the world, يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. He will do nothing in the world but open corruption. So the angels were shocked. For now when they go in the company of Almighty Allah, they were not asking a question that they had worked out. They were pushed by Shaitan, Azazil, to say, oh Allah, why must you create Adam? But the real meaning of the question was, what is the need of Adam when our friend Azazil is right there? That when you got a president already ready, why must you make a new one? So when Almighty Allah said to the angels, that are you all asking me? The angels immediately said, Subhanak. That, oh Allah, you are pure and we know nothing except what you teach us. And they had no problem. Azazil, however, now he tried through the angels, it never worked. And now when Ruh is blown into Adam a.s. and Adam a.s. starts moving, then Almighty Allah said, as soon as my spirit will go, and as soon as movement will start, all of you all fall in sajda. So the angels had no problem, because the angels had asked an innocent question. They fell in sajda. And it just happened that because Azazil was enjoying the majalis of the angels for so long, so Almighty Allah, because Allah is Allah, He directs the same command to Azazil. Because Almighty Allah knows everything. And the whole balloon of Azazil has to burst now. Which Quran mentions, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That from day one, Azazil was nothing but a kafir. He was hiding the reality. He was showing, I'm obedient of Allah, but he was obedient to his insides. Everything was done just to become president. And now when he is told, make sajda, he stands. No one will ever stand in front of the Zat of Allah if a command of sajda comes. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabarakullah will just open His beauty. And it comes that the kuffar will all desire to fall in sajda. And then it will be told, now you want to make sajda, too late. In front of the being of Allah, no one will ever stop going into sajda. But jealousy was the thing that kept Azazir standing. He said, I'll not do it. And then when he was asked, why not? Then again his answer came that he's rubbish. That man is rubbish, but it had nothing to do with rubbish. Even if man was made of gold and silver, he was not going to make the sajda. He wasn't going to make the sajda because his dream had come to an end. He was in a dream world. My dream of taking over. And now this Adam came and snatched it from me. Nabi Adam alayhi salam was innocent. He had no intention of snatching anything from Azazil. It was the command of Almighty Allah. And it's Allah's system that this world must carry on. Thereafter we know what happened, that finally Azazil manages to make Adam alayhi salam also make an error, all in the plan of Allah. But the one thing that now I bring in the point to, is that when Azazil was kicked out of paradise, then as he was going out, he said one thing, which we will translate in our words. He said, I will prove. What he wanted to prove? He said, I will prove that I am right and Allah is wrong. That's what he said. To who he has to prove it? To the angels. Because he was the one who told the angels that man is hopeless in a hole. That if he is put in the world from 1 to 100, not a single one will be devoted to Allah. Everyone will do nothing but open facade. There will be not a single believer. He said that to the angels. And Almighty Allah said to the angels, do I know better or do you know better? And the angels said, oh Allah, you know better. So one thing he said, I will prove that what I said is right and what Allah said is wrong. Prove it to the angels. So Almighty Allah is Allah. So Almighty Allah said, very good, prove it. That is why you will notice that whenever man worships, you will find in the narrations, Almighty Allah will say to the angels, you saw that? Did you see that? On the night of Christmas, if 99% of the people are at the beachfront doing evil, it will have no effect. Because that was already said from the beginning, that majority is going to follow you. But I want you to show me that minority will not follow me. That was the exam now. Majority will follow you. But because Azazil said not a single one, except those who are covered with divine protection, meaning the Anbiya. Besides the Anbiya, there will not be a single devoted servant of Allah. So if one Christmas night comes, and in a town you get 99% of the people outside, doing drugs, doing adultery, doing evil, and you have a small musalla, and in that musalla it's dark, and there's one man who goes that night, and he says, oh Allah, when everyone is doing evil, I want to come in your masjid. Then his friend might say to him, that what's the benefit? When evil is taking place so openly outside, what your one worship is going to do tonight? But that one man's worship will do everything on that night. Because when he'll worship, a light will go to the skies. And the angels will all be told, look, that it is the night of Christmas. And when he managed to get everyone doing their thing, how come this one man is still standing in salah? That one man becomes the manzar of the angels, the focus of the angels. They're shocked. And that is the exam that he's carrying on. Almighty Allah then told Iblis, go and prove it. 100% there will not be a single person devoted to me. Go prove it. So as soon as he was told that, he said, but. Because this is Azazil. Now he is Iblis, Shaitan, but he said, but. He himself said, I'll prove it. So Almighty Allah said, prove it. He said, but. He said, but what? Which will come in the narration, which Imam Bayhaqi rahimullah has put in his kitab, Shu'abul Iman, that at that time now, Azazil said, but. Said, but what? He said, I got no power. He was the one who said, I'll do it. But suddenly he says, I've got no power, how can I do it? So Almighty Allah, because the exam started now, and Almighty Allah wanted it to happen. This world was meant as Darul Imtihan. And the Imtihan was going to be taken by this man called Shaitan. So he says, but I got no power. So he says, what power you want? And thereafter Almighty Allah starts giving him powers. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ. Which inshallah in the future we will explain this in detail. What and what powers came to Shaitan at that moment? Almighty Allah told him, I'll give you, I will give you, I will give you, what and what you want. Because the purpose is that where you said, my servants will never remain faithful, I will show you faithful. So to end it, I will just give you one example to understand where I'm trying to reach. That you got one father who taught his son, example, karate. He made him a ninja, whatever he did. Now he's telling the people in the town that this boy can fight anyone. But to prove the worth of the boy, the father doesn't bring on the other side a 5-year-old child and says to the 5-year-old, fight my son. Because there's no exam then. If the son is 12 years old, the father will bring a 15, 16, 17 year old. You say, fight my son. And the father got confidence that my son will knock anyone down. So that first person is knocked down, the father smiles, but the game is not over. Now the father will bring a huge giant, 45, 50 year old monster, put him on one side. People outside will say, why is it like this? That kufr is so strong, and iman is so weak. But the father is showing a point. So when that monster goes to the son and the son knocks him, then the father's smile becomes bigger. But the father doesn't stop them. Then kufr will be given another, he'll be given a stick, he'll be given a weapon. That with your bare hands, if you can't take my son down, I'll give you a weapon. I will give you money, I will give you arms, I will give you what you want, take him down. Now with a stick you can't take him down, now he'll put a sword in his hand. A sword can kill your son. But when you have that conviction, my son will stand through anything. So you will put a sword. From the beginning till today, Almighty Allah has put in the hands of the shayateen whatever power they wanted. And it was always told to them, whatever you want, you got. Bring down my ummah. And from the beginning till today, which Quran was mentioned, there was Nuh alayhi salam and he selected. They survived. There was this Nabi and he selected, that Nabi and he selected. Never ever were they able to do it. Today we have reached an era, which is like now the final competition. Where Almighty Allah has told the world of kufr, the shayateen, whatever power the world could have created, in the name of technology, in the name of wealth, in the name of propaganda, in everything, presidency of the whole world will be given to you. Armies of the entire world, the wealth of the entire world, the voice of the entire world, everything in your hands. And take down my ummah now. And we are now living in that last competition. And every day when you see more and more people accepting Islam, more and more people coming to the masjid, then you can understand why the world of kufr is shaking. That when everything is in their hands, they can't understand how are we still losing the match. So your every one subhanallah that you make, one alhamdulillah, your every 2 rakats of salah, one person you invite to deen, understand it is creating circles in the heavens, where the angels are looking at it and amazed. The shayateen are also looking and shivering in anger. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us ability to understand what I am trying to say. Inshallah, in the future we have chance, we will go into it more detail, trying to explain what the shayateen then did in the past, what they are doing today to try to get what they are getting, and what Almighty Allah on His side did to ensure that in the end of the day, like how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, from the beginning till the ending, there will always be a group of people who will stand stuck onto the truth. And the whole world of kufr tries to remove them, they will be unable to. Wa akhiru da'wana.